Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Man, it is that Monday after our week-long break. We are back in office, fresh with life experiences and yarns to spin.
Yarns to spin. Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah. How did you have any of the? I think that the common vernacular these days is the Sunday scaries.
The Sunday scaries. I don't think I really had the Sunday scaries so much.
No,
that's no. Good. I think Luke was experiencing a mild amount, just because he was going to a new camp today.
You know, I was always really nervous about that when I was a kid. I think that I'm starting to realize how much the fear of the unknown is like a major barrier for me.
Yeah. So he was like, I think like by yesterday evening he was okay, but like maybe in the morning I could tell there was a few times where I think he was just like, maybe even Thursday was worse, or Saturday scaries was worse than the Sunday scaries, where he was just sort of like knew it was coming. But like when he got up this morning, he was like, why are you waking me up? I was like, you've got camp. And he was like, oh yeah. And he just like popped up.
No way.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Like I was so concerned about dropping him off, because like he was gonna have to it was at like a church we don't usually go to, where you drop him off and then they like get on a bus and go to this place he hasn't been to before, and he hasn't been to this place before, and just really going with like one other friend, and like even like on the first day of school, which he's been to plenty of times, so just be like, I don't want to go, and you're like, okay, all right. So I thought this was gonna be hard, but like he got out of the car and put his backpack on, and the counselor was like put your bag down over there, and then there's a playground you can go play until we leave, and he was like, okay, and didn't even look back. I was like, okay, see ya.
Well, that was glorious.
Yeah, so that was great.
Okay, that is really good. Yeah. That is really good. Yeah. Well, I was experiencing, I do this thing on week-long outings, which I just experienced over our week off. I went to the lake for a week. And I will start, like, you know, we'll get there. We'll get everything set up on Saturday. You know, like that whole part of the vacation going process, where it's kind of like the setup, the unloading the cars, the travel there, all those bits. And then usually like wake up Sunday morning and I'm like, first day here, nothing but road ahead of us.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so much time left. But like, I will start worrying that morning about Thursday.
Yeah.
Because Thursday is going to be the day where you wake up where it's like, well, tomorrow's the last day.
Right.
You know, and then it's kind of like, oh, then we got to like break the whole thing back mm-hmm. down again. We're going to have to like reload the cars. Just like something like inherently, like all the magic associated with unpacking for a vacation is then like balanced by the having to do the task you don't want to do,
right,
which is packing to go home.
Right.
And it's like when you're at home and you're packing for the vacation, it's almost like there's even like excitement associated with the chore. But then
Because
it means you're about to go.
Look at all these fun things I'm packing and ready to enjoy.
Right. But then once you're on vacation, you have been largely chore-less for a whole week.
Yeah.
So not only... Wow.
Wow.
That's the second time today we've knocked over Banana the Duck.
Banana's the Duck, yeah.
But everybody in my group was like, Ben, why are you bringing up leaving? Like, we literally, this is our first morning. Why are we already thinking about, like, going home? And I'm like, I just don't want it to happen. I don't want it to happen. And it's even funny that it's Thursday the day that gets me, because it's just the last full day before the last full day.
last full day before the last of the day. Because if you're that worried about Thursday on the first day you get there, then you're probably going to start on Wednesday. You're probably going to really start being like, I'm so afraid of how I'm going to feel on Thursday.
I know. Really? I mean, really, it's like vacation's the complete opposite of like a regular week. We're like, Monday's like kind of the only day you're like completely safe. It's like, there's so much time.
Every day after that, you're so, I know. Like, dare we ever venture into the 2 week vacation, Ben?
Oh,
can you imagine? I mean, imagine the, like, you'd have that same, like you'd have so many days of clear time.
Yes.
Even 7 days in, you'd be like, I got like four more days,
like,
man.
Like a week left.
I'm set. Someone's like, you did that math wrong. I know. I'm like, no, because that'd be the next Monday. And
right. Well, either way, a 2 week vacation. I mean, goodness me, if the day ever comes, you know, I will just be like basking in the glory that is the awesomeness of that much time where you don't have to like think about anything in particular.
I've never experienced it as an adult. The 2 week vacation.
No,
you know,
neither.
It hasn't. I haven't had 14 consecutive days off before. Just, you know, in basically living memory.
Well, and you know what's funny too is that like when I did my study abroad in Australia, New Zealand back when I was in college, I was gone for like 22 days, I think, so 3 weeks. But that trip was so different because like you're moving around so often. Like we never sat put in one area for a long time, and we did have like certain responsibilities. I mean, it was study abroad after all that like we were supposed to be doing,
right,
like,
sure,
you know, taking in whatever. But it was also like that was not the kind of trip. Like there was a piece of me that was like, while I was experiencing it, I was like, I can't wait to get home because then I will have successfully completed this mission,
right?
Like almost it was like as if like each day that ticked by, it was almost like, okay, like one day closer to having successfully done this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I can never remember, is that type A fun or type B fun?
I think it's what you would call type 2 fun. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I got the
yeah, that's where it's like fun afterwards.
Yes. And I think that's like a lot of, I like things like that.
Yeah. Where it's like, that's a lot of GMA experiences. We're very type 2 fun kind of people.
We are. Yeah. It's like, let's go like make ourselves miserable because then after the fact, for the rest of our lives, we have these stories to tell about like all the cool things that we did.
Misery breeds comedy, you know?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. Especially when it's like generally safe.
Yeah. Exactly.
Misery,
yeah,
you know, it's like, yeah. No, nobody was ever like in real danger.
No. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Sorry. That, I don't know if that. Yeah. You know what I mean.
Yeah. No. I follow your meaning. But anyway. Yeah. So we both had respective trips. It sounded like you and Beth were going out and taking an anniversary, a 10-year anniversary,
10-year anniversary
vacation.
Yeah.
And I swear, I think that you guys are fundamentally cursed.
It might be true
when it comes to your solo travel ventures, like sans kids.
Yeah, there things have gone wrong before. This one really wasn't like, I mean, it was, I think if anything, what we kept joking was that it was such like a good like metaphor for marriage and having kids and stuff.
Walk me through all of that because I love it already.
Okay, well, because it was like, you know, like we're going on this 10-year anniversary trip and we were going down to Rosemary Beach on 30A, which is that's what you call it. That's the road. It's 30A.
Oh,
yeah. So this nice. This is what I learned, is that you don't say the, like we're going down and staying on like the 30A. It's, there's no the, drop the,
drop the
cleaner. It's just we're staying on 30A.
We're staying on 30A.
At 30A.
Okay.
Yeah. And so 30A is like, you say Rosemary Beach. Well, that's what we were saying. But then like every maybe quarter mile of 30A, like the technical name of the particular section of beach you're on changes. So there's like Rosemary Beach, quarter mile, Seacrest Beach, quarter of a mile, next beach, you know.
That's interesting because like the beach that we went to growing up is Holden Beach in North Carolina.
Right.
And I feel like if you go to like either side of it, there are like separate physical
like islands
yeah. that are like Oak Island,
Emerald Island, one of them?
Myrtle Beach is somewhere, you know, down the way there.
Right.
But yeah, it's like, it's fascinating to me to think like that this is like, you could just like walk and be like, yeah, we have now left Rosemary Beach and we are now in
Seacrest Beach or whatever.
Right.
So yeah, so this would be like if like how Holden Beach is the whole area, this is like 30A is the whole area.
Okay.
And then like every it was so interesting to like take in the whole area. I would say that the that 30A is an extremely affluent area.
Okay.
Extremely.
So you guys fit in just perfectly.
No. We were white, I'll say, in that capacity.
Oh, okay, okay.
It was a very rich white person place.
Okay, yes. Got it, got it.
So there's that. But I'll get into that more about what it was like being there when we get there. So, like, we arrived at the airport on, what, Saturday morning, and if all had gone according to plan, we'd have been there by, like, you know, 12 by noon.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
If all the flights just were as they were meant to be, which of course they were not.
Well, and I was going to say just for like a scooch of context here, the week going into our week off, I think I worked myself so hard that I worked myself into a fever.
Oh,
on,
wow.
On Thursday.
Yeah.
Like Thursday evening. So like we went to work on Thursday all day. I was like, man, I'm feeling like crap. Like I don't feel good. This is like miserable. I got home that night. I took my temperature. I'm rocking a fever. I'm like, no, like we have like one more day before break. Like I need to be there. Like I need to be able to like make sure that we've like battened down all the hatches. And so we successfully did, you know, we got in and I was feeling better by the next morning. And you know, like got through the day. But I think that like I was so personally, and I don't know where you were at, like, but I was really tired.
Yeah.
Going into like the start of this week. So, well,
yeah. Like I remember, so we saw Elio the week before break, and that morning I like, we went in like the morning and I got like, we had like the big tub of popcorn, which then almost no one except me ate. But that's the day you were also not feeling good. And then we like went and recorded the review, and like that night, sure enough, my throat was starting, I was starting to it was starting to hurt when I swallowed, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have like picked up whatever Ben had or something.
Right. Yeah.
And like, then you're like, I've got a fever. And then I'm doing that like mental game of like, wait, do I actually feel bad? Or am I like projecting this illness onto me because my anxiety is spiraling.
Yes, exactly.
Then I'm like, no, but like I ate all that popcorn and it, like it was really dry, so maybe it was just like the act of swallowing, because I didn't get soda, so maybe it's just the act of swallowing it that's making it hurt. And I kept telling myself that, like, it was just the popcorn. which I don't know. Maybe it was both. Maybe it was neither. Maybe it was placebo. I don't know. I was totally fine by the day of or whatever. I also like that night though, I told Beth, I was like, man, my throat is a little bit. And she's like, I think it was like 7:45 or something. She's like, should we just go to bed? You just want to go to bed? I was like, yeah, we should do it. Let's just go to bed. I'll just get it like way more sleep than I need. And she's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Don't even risk it.
Right.
She's like, yeah. It doesn't matter. What are we going to do? Watch TV? It's fine.
We don't need TV.
We don't need TV. We can lay in bed. We'll just turn on a show and we'll be fine. Yeah.
It's so funny. The popcorn thing reminds me of, I think that there's like a bit in the TV show Scrubs at one point in time where the Chandler is talking about how when he was a kid growing up, all his mom would give him when he was sick was granola bars and coffee. So he's like, so there I am. My throat hurts so bad. And it's just hot and scratchy.
Why?
I have no idea.
Oh, poor janitor.
I know. Dr.
Jan Itor.
Anyway, yes. So continue. Yes, so you're yes. supposed to get up the next morning and you'll be in 30A.
We'll be in 30A by you know, noon, 1 o'clock or whatever.
Right.
I am letting Beth off at the airport because she's going to go check the bag and I'm going to go like park the car.
Sure.
Or whatever.
Yep.
And she's like checking her phone. And she's like, wait, what? What? Oh, our flight's been like rescheduled for tomorrow. And we're like, wait, what? Tomorrow? Like, we're at the airport now. What do you mean tomorrow? Because we're here now.
We can't go home.
Yeah, I'm not going home. What do you mean?
I'm not going home.
Just, you know how long it took to get out of the house with the kids and everything? We're not going home. Like, what do you mean? Now,
right,
you know?
Right, yes, yeah. There is nothing that is like, it's like, because even at that point, I mean, you only live 15 minutes from the airport, so it's not like it would have even been that hard to just drive back home.
Well, it wouldn't be hard to drive home. Yeah,
no. But what you're dealing with is like all of the setup. It's like you had like the childcare all squared away. You had you successfully got them okay with you exiting the house. You packed the car. You did all things, and it's still only a trip that I think you guys were taking from Saturday to Tuesday.
Yes,
as it were. So one full day, Sunday to Tuesday. It's like you're literally talking about just the one glorious. It's supposed to be the Monday of vacation, the best day.
I know. Like you know, you're gonna get there, and you know it's only 4 days, but because we were going to be there at like noon, it was like, well, we really get Saturday too, you know?
True.
Yeah. Yes. Not going to be that bad. But in any case, we get there and it says it's been rebooked for the next day. And we're like that, like we have to, like, what are we? So we go inside to talk to them and they're like, okay, we see what happened. It's like, there are other flights to Charlotte today for your first flight, but there's not flights for the connection to like Panama City until the next day. So it just booked you to when you could do the full trip again. But like, but then they're like, but that's okay. We'll get you to Charlotte now. And then let's see if there's other ways from Charlotte to get you there. If we can fly you to like another nearby airport or maybe you can drive down to Greensboro and like fly from there or something. And we're just like, yes, sure, whatever. Make it happen. Make it so.
I feel so bad for the airport employees who have to jump through all of these various loops and hoops.
Oh my gosh.
It sounds so exhausting.
Especially because like, What we found out was happening was that there was really big thunderstorms in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, which is like all the connections.
Yeah, and that, well, because we were in, and like, you know, we weren't going through Atlanta at all. We were just going from Roanoke to Charlotte to Panama City.
Okay.
And but because Atlanta was down, that was like creating this crazy domino effect where like I think they said like five really big flights had been canceled, and that meant they were having to reroute all these other things.
Right.
And it was just, you know, we're not even near it, you know?
Yeah.
We're just like feeling the domino effect from these thunderstorms halfway across the country. We're like, ugh, great. But they're like, okay, so we're just gonna get you on the flight to Charlotte, and then when you're down there, talk to, you know, the me of there,
right?
Yeah,
right,
whoever. Yes. My person is there, and I'm sure they can find you like another way down there today. And we're like, okay, let's do that.
Like, right, you get down there, like, Bill sent me from Roanoke.
Yeah, they're like, yeah,
you know, Bill, right?
They booked us on here, and then we're trying, like, they rebooked us for tomorrow, but we're trying to, we need to get there today. And so we found, you know, fortunately, in both situations, just like we got there, and there was like, we found tables that had no lines, which was great, because the last thing you want to be doing when you're at the airport is standing in a line for customer service.
Yeah.
Because every single person in front of you has the exact same complicated problem.
Yes, and everybody's feeling the same level of like helplessness. Like that's the major issue, is that it's like it's like sometimes I wonder, and this is going to be such a brief tangent, but like if this is why the idea of like living very like simply and like that sort of like homestead mentality can sometimes like be so appealing, is because like you are directly in control of all of your circumstances. But like when it comes to something like airports, where you kind of have this X factor of like, how agreeable is this attendant going to be? How big is my problem relative to the problems of the other people everybody's dealing with? How many angry people have spoken to this person today? How feasible is it even for, do they have the power to even solve my problem?
I know.
If the rest of this is okay.
Right.
And so it's like, you are standing there, it's like, not only do you not have any power over your situation, but there's a decent chance the person that does have more power than you also doesn't have the power to solve
it. And you're like, you know, can we, is there, and you know, you can only talk to the airline that you're talking to, you know, like if you're on American, it's like, you know, who knows, maybe over at United there's flights, you know?
Oh, sure. Yes.
Something like that. Yeah, I don't know if they, I'm not sure how much they can see of the other flights or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know the inner workings.
Certainly American Airlines doesn't want their associates being like, you know what, it's a better deal over there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Just head over, whatever, dude. But we were talking to our Charlotte person, and they're like, oh, okay, I see what happened here. Yeah, so there's two more flights to Panama City today, but one of them's full, and you could like try and get on the standby line, but there's already 21 people on that one, so that's not great. And then the other one's at 11 p.m., and there's only one seat available, so you both can't get on, and same situation with standby. And it was like, So if we stay around to 11, maybe we'll get on a flight.
Maybe one of us will get on a flight.
Maybe one of us will get on a flight. It was like, so that wasn't going to happen. And then, I mean, the guy was really very helpful. He was like trying every airport like nearby. And I think he was, you know, because our other option now is driving down from Charlotte, like just rent a car and drive.
Can I just say, though, classic Charlotte Bill. I mean, yeah. I would expect nothing else out of him.
Exactly.
You know,
he was doing good. And we're like, OK, so here's the real thing is that we could rent a car and drive. And that's going to take 8 hours. So like door to door, whatever situation we can find that gets us there faster than 8 hours is better. And then it was like, I think the closest he could do was like he could get us in New Orleans, which was a 4 hour drive. But it was like a 2 hours until the flight, and then like a 2 hour flight. Yeah. So it was like door to door plus them. Yeah, it's like it's not actually going to be faster, you know.
This is exactly like we live just far enough away from like Washington D.C. where it's like, yeah, it's like a 4 hour journey or whatever. But it's like when you account for getting to the airport however many much time early, and then the boarding process and the landing process and the getting out of the airport process, it's like it's going to take you 4 hours to get there.
Yeah, no matter how you slice it.
No matter how you just slice it. And then you don't have your car.
And then you don't have your car.
Yeah.
Exactly. So ultimately, we decided that flying was pretty much out because there was no way that was getting us there before the next day. And even then, the next day, it was like, well, who knows how many more cancellations might happen.
True.
You know. So then we have to walk over and rent. We have to go rent a car. But of course, then we have to pick up our checked bag as well, because now we're not going to the final destination.
Sure.
But of course, we spent so long talking to the customer service guy that the check bag's no longer on the little rotation thing.
Oh gosh.
So then we got to go wait in line to get the check bag. So then we can go rent the car. And then we get in the car. Finally, we get in there. And from there, but this is where I feel like it was like the, like your like marriage metaphor thing is coming in, because it's like the whole point of this trip is to like be celebrating like just like our, you know, our 10-year anniversary. And like at the end of the day, the point is to just be spending time together.
Right.
So it's like, you know, whether we're actually at our destination or not, like as long as like, you know, being in the car for 8 hours together is still going to be like just a fun road trip.
Sure.
Kind of thing. Like not how we wanted to get there by any means, and especially unexpected, where you're like, oh yeah, wait, suddenly I have to drive 8 hours. I wasn't even mentally prepared for it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Kind of thing. And then because you feel the weight of the distance and the time. And it's like, we just went to New York last weekend and it was such a long drive.
I was going to say, we literally did like 20 hours of driving just the weekend before.
I got to go do it again. It's so much work. But the difference between traveling 8 hours with just your wife and not your wife and three children is so different.
Right.
It is so different. When it says 8 hours, it means 8 hours, you know,
right.
Like you're going to do it. The time it says, it's not going to be like 11 hours or something. We're on the road, and then hilariously we eventually have to pass through Atlanta, Georgia, and we get a very firsthand look at all of the thunderstorms, which are still going crazy down there.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, well, this is the reason we're not flying.
Yeah, see? It's like, this is the reason we're not flying, because of this. And I mean, I was seriously like, we were going through the section of the interstate that guess like kind of goes like right through or right next to the city. And you could see on our side of the street, it was like still drivable. But on the other side of the street, it was literally like 2 feet of water. And it was like, you can't drive through it, you know?
Wow.
So the flooding was for sure a real problem on the ground game as well.
Sure. Yeah.
But it was a long drive, obviously. We listened to the song Florida by Taylor Swift like once an hour.
Nice.
Like, every time we crossed it to a new state, it was like, Florida, well, like, we're getting there.
Fire it back up again.
I know. And then it was like, we would cheer every time the GPS would like cross like underneath another hour. It'd be like, under 5 hours, like under 4 hours. Like, we're getting there.
Allison and I do the exact same thing whenever we're on road trips, where it was like, we're in the fours now. We're in the threes.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
It's like, you know, 3 hours and 57 minutes may as well be 4 hours.
Yeah.
But still.
And then at some point we crossed into Alabama, and we were both like, oh my gosh, I didn't know we were going to cross through Alabama. Like, I don't know how the map is working right now. But that's like, have you ever been to Alabama? I was like, I haven't. She's like, I've never been to Alabama. And then I think it was like, it reminded me of like when we were driving to our grandparents growing up, and you drive through like West Virginia and Maryland in about 20 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah. Like you cross through both of them so briefly.
And then you're in Pennsylvania for a calendar year.
Yeah. Still. You're still in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Forever. So it was kind of like that. We were like in Alabama, maybe for like 20 minutes of drive time. But whilst we were in there, we crossed over the Chattahoochee River.
Nice.
Which very fun. You had to play the Alan Jackson song. Right. And then we stopped at a Wingstop, which we'd never been to a Wingstop before, but apparently you got to get the ranch. That's what everyone says.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we were like, cause there was like it was kind of funny. Cause like there was a Taco Bell in the parking lot and a Wingstop. And we're like, well, what do you think? What should we do? What should we do? And we're like, look, we've never been to Wingstop. We should probably do that. And we go in there and we're like, we've never been here. And they were so nice in there. And they were like, is it fast? Is it going to be fast? And like, oh yeah, no problem. And then it was like half an hour. And then even when they gave us the food, they were like, she was like, I'm so sorry. I lied. It wasn't fast.
Oh no.
And it was like, ah.
At least she validated
you. At least she validated it. And it was like, yes, it was not fast. You are correct. We've been at this Wingstop in Alabama. Well, you know what? I've been in Alabama for 45 minutes and 30 of it has been at this Wingstop.
Nice.
But the food was good. I'll give it that. It was good ranch for sure. For sure.
Okay. Here's a question. I feel like you guys like, you seem to know the reputations of certain things in such a way where
okay,
it's like
what else?
Like 30A.
Oh, it's okay.
Like, you know, like knowing to go to like this particular beach and go, yeah. And then like what to order at like the Wingstop. Those are two examples I have offhand, but I feel okay. Like you guys do this. I feel like it's like a known characteristic of like the J.M. Beth philosophy to life.
It's to like kind of have like the in.
Like what's the signature thing that like signature we that thing. Like we know you have to get. Like when we went to New York City, we went to like a brunch place and it's like you have to get the French fries because they're made of like this special like duck fat or
right.
Something, you know, and it's like
yeah.
It's like you guys always know.
We always know the thing.
You always know the thing.
Well,
yeah.
The 30A and Rosemary Beach was all Beth. That was like through whatever the algorithm is feeding her.
Okay.
Like that's where she discovered it and we like looked it up and found it. And then I was it's a good thing she had to correct me because I was like, we're heading down to like the 30A, and she's like, you don't say the, it's just 30A. And I'm like, I had to like really force myself not to say the because it sounded so foreign. It was like, that sounds so stupid. but that's it. We're going to 30A.
We're going to 30A.
We're going to 30A.
And you did it.
And we did it. Now I got it. I'm in.
You're in the club.
That would be like such like an indicator of like, that'd be a way to immediately stick your foot in your mouth and like reveal your outsiderness.
Oh yeah. You know, I mean, you can't have that.
Yeah. It's like our first trip down here to the 30A and they'd be like, oh, okay. Okay. You're not one of us. Okay.
Can you imagine? So like, you know, you and I talk a lot about our favorite gas station in the world, which is the West Addison General Store,
yeah.
AKA WAGS, in West Addison, Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked a lot about getting the like the open air beef jerky that they just have on the counter.
Just have it sitting there in kind of a glass jar.
In a glass jar, yeah. It's like, but like, what if that is their like only out of towners buy the glass jar beef jerky?
It can't be.
I mean, it can't be.
It can't be.
But what if?
But what I mean,
you know, and it's like, but like here we are, like telling everybody, like get the open air jerky.
It's so good. We're gonna have to have like a special pilgrimage episode of the pop where we just go to WAGS.
Just to do it.
To go. Yeah.
I wonder how many like episodes we could record while driving to WAGS.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun.
That'd be great. Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah. Yeah. Next live show at WAGS.
Yeah, there's parking for like
nine
cars.
People. There's no event space.
No, certainly.
I guess
not.
There's some tables in the back where you can fill out your fishing license. You know,
there is that.
Yeah.
So we'd be covered. Yeah,
we're good. We could probably seat 12 people.
Right.
Exactly.
I imagine that in the greater West Addison area, that's probably about the fan base we have.
You might be right. You might be right.
Anyway, sorry. So I cut you off after Wingstop. So you have your 30-minute ranch wings.
We got our 30-minute ranch wings. The ranch we know about just from Good Mythical Morning.
Oh, like, okay. Yeah, okay, sure enough.
They'll try, you know, the Wingstop. And they think they've done like the best ranch from the different restaurants or whatever. And like that was the winner.
That was the Wingstop. Okay, got exactly. It. Yeah.
Exactly. But we eventually finally make it down there at like 1 in the morning. But the silver lining of it all is that now we have a car.
That is quite nice.
So
We
weren't going to have a car while we were down there because we would have just flown and like taken an Uber to our Airbnb. But now we have a car, which is nice, which means we're not totally locked into 30A attractions or whatever.
Love it.
Which, you know, would be a good deal. It would be good if it rains or anything, which it did. But we get there at like 1 in the morning, both just collapse on the bed and we're like, all right, the good news is we've like netted 12 hours. Cause like no matter what, either we were going to like take some weird flight pattern down here and maybe get here at this time. Now we have definitely gotten here this time or tomorrow.
Okay. You know? I feel like your metaphor on marriage is already starting to like make a little bit of sense, because technically I could make the argument that you guys like lost 13 hours.
Well, if once things had not gone according to plan, like if you're right, we lost like, because we could have been there at like 12 or 1.
Right.
Yeah. Like, so no matter what, but that time was already lost the moment the first trip got canceled.
Okay.
So from there, it was like, how do we lose the least amount of time from here? And I think we accomplished that.
Yes. But I think that's very good, like mental adaption to like the situation that you are just going to be thrust inside of.
Yeah.
I think that's like the very like optimistic outlook on everything that went down.
Yeah. Yes. So, and I think what I mean is that like, you're just gonna, you know, things are going to come up and you're just going to have to roll with them.
Yes.
You know, that's how life is. That's how marriage is. And you know, you just have to make the best of it. And the point is you're doing it together. So it was like, even though we got there at 1 and our flight got canceled and we had to drive, it was like, it was a hassle, but also like, it was still fun. You know, we were still having an adventure. It was still like a very like the journey is the destination kind of thing. Like,
absolutely.
The whole point of the trip is to be spending time together. And that's what we did all day.
Right.
You know,
right. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yep. Yep.
You know,
yep.
Maybe even more in, like maybe even like more intensively than we would if we just been flying on a plane or like sitting next to each other on a beach or something.
Well, that's a very good point too. Yeah. Because I mean, there's the very easy possibility, especially like on planes where you just get in, you throw your headphones on and you just sort of like zonk out until you get there. It's like, you don't usually think of it as like usable time the same way that like a good road trip can be.
Right. Exactly. So in that sense, it was good. And we woke up the next morning and we were both just starving. And there was a very cool like farmer's market being set up all down like the different beaches or whatever.
Okay.
So we were almost like a little like almost too early for it. Like we were kind of like walking through as the people were setting up, but we were hunting for coffee. And of course, as luck would have it, our like Airbnb was like right above. Do you know like waves at like Holden Beach or like any beach?
Yeah, like the
souvenir shop.
The souvenir shop that sells like stuff made out of coconuts. And,
and they've got all the stuff branded to the area.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Wind chimes made out of seashells.
Exactly, yeah, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So our Airbnb was above the traders is what it was called.
Okay.
Yeah, that the 30A's version of that is where we were. But right next door was a Starbucks.
So they sold like all like the lowly like Gucci handbags and Louis Vuitton. Mm-hmm,
yeah. All the really consumer grade.
Like that's the scale of wealth.
No, it was just like regular stuff in there.
Okay.
But then the irony is that we were so close to a Starbucks, but we were both like, no, we didn't drive down here to go to a Starbucks. We're going to like a fun shop or something. And we're going to get a real coffee or whatever. But like everywhere didn't open for like another hour or something. So we're like walking down the entire little area. We finally find this one coffee shop that's open, and Beth's like, oh, this is one you're supposed to go to. Like, this is like, yeah,
we're in the know.
Of course, we open the door, and sure enough, everyone knows you're supposed to go there because the line is like 20 people long. And it was, we're both like, we're not waiting in this line right now. There's no chance.
No, naturally.
And there's another donut shop right there. So we're going to go look in that one instead.
Nice.
So we walk around to Joe's Donut Shop.
Okay. Loving the sound of this already.
Yep. Joe's Donut Shop. They were exactly what we wanted. There was no line at all. They had avocado toast on the menu and coffee.
Wow.
And that's what I wanted. I wanted avocado toast and coffee, and I got it.
Way to go.
And it was fantastic. But so Joe's Coffee Shop was my first example of this weird ecosystem that the 30A is in, where there is like this weird mixture of kinds of stores and experiences.
Okay.
Wherein there were like so many places where you'd walk into it, and it was like, I swear, we went into one place, it was literally called like an apothecary, but it looked like, you know, the Rose Apothecary from Schitt's Creek.
Okay, you know? Sure.
I mean, it was extremely that. Every single item had clearly been like curated and picked by the owner, and like it all had a certain aesthetic, but it was all like high-end, high-quality, or like, you know, very naturally made kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. I'm imagining like body scrubs and hand poured candles and
You could make your own like body wash, you know.
Of course you
can. Which we did.
Oh, hey, is it great?
Yes, it smells like thyme.
Excellent. Yeah. Like from a clock or like the herb.
Like from a clock. You know how time smells. You know how when seconds are passing you can be like, "Oh yeah." At all, that's just all time. No, it smelled like the herb time. And yeah, so that was kind of fun doing that.
May I break for a quick aside?
Yeah.
Okay. So last night I was giving Addison a bath, and because we had been traveling, all of her bath essentials were packed away in a Ziploc bag somewhere, and I didn't know where they were. So I just used my shampoo on Addison's head, and she was like, "I like this shampoo. This smells good. What is this? What are you using?" And I was like, I was so flattered. I was like, "Ah, she loves my shampoo."
Nice. Did it sting her eyes?
No, I was very careful not getting in near her eyes. Yeah. Yes, nice. I was worried about that. Yeah.
Yep.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Starting a business is a funny process. You start with your idea, then you make some prototypes or source inventory, record your first video, the little things. Then you make your first sale, have your first regular customer, hire staff, expand hours, open a new location, start a second podcast, offer health benefits, marketing, accounting, verbiage, human resources. Whew. It's a lot, but that's why you want Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, from household names like Mattel and Carlin Brothers Mercantile to brands that are just getting started. And let me tell you what, Shopify is like having a business partner who doesn't need to sleep, doesn't drink half the pot of coffee, has tons of insight, and doesn't snore when you split a hotel room at the annual trade convention. Shopify is your commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. So turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period and start selling today at shopify.com/poppop. Go to shopify.com/poppop. One last time, shopify.com/poppop.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
So anyway, all that to say that some places were very affluent in experience because like they knew they're in this like high wealth beach town kind of area, right? But not every, like there was like every shop has to be playing that game. And like, but the thing is,
it's because the drive-thru.
What?
It's the drive-thru.
It's the drive-thru. Every shop has to be playing that game. But not every shop is executing it amazingly well. But it doesn't matter if they're executing it well because the attitude of the people going is that because it's so expensive to be here and because that's like the vibe of the area.
Right.
And because whether or not a place is good or not almost doesn't matter because nothing's cheap, you know?
Sure.
And because everything costs money, it all must be good, period.
Okay.
That's the sentiment. And so you'd go into some shops though, and they'd be like, yes, like super well, like curated and whatever. And then which is not to say it was a bad thing. It wasn't a bad thing. Cause like we went to that other coffee shop that had the line eventually. And I would say the coffee was okay. And we got these like little breakfast tacos, which were very okay.
Okay.
But like the shop inside was clearly crushing it. Like it looked like how it, you know, the customers wanted it to look.
Okay.
You go over to Joe's. Way better breakfast regular coffee and really good donuts.
Okay.
But you go in there and the first thing on the left, and it, like, most of the shop, I would say like 80% looks like perfect and great and fun and colorful. But then, like, there's like this like loud crane game right when you walk in, and you're like, oh, this is really throwing off the vibe. This like flashing light crane game thing.
Interesting. Right here.
I know. And then, like, you gave us the coffee and like, they're like, oh, like, they're like, cream and sugar's down there. And like, by down there, it meant like a little bit further walk than you might think to this like lonely cream station, like off by itself.
Weird.
Like, I know. I was like, this is so far away from everything. And there's another crane machine down here.
Okay. Now that makes me wonder if, like, once upon a time, this used to be like an arcade and these things were like bolted to the floor, and they like went to move in their fancy coffee shop, and they were like, what do we do about the crane games? It's like, well, we can't move them. It's like, but they don't fit.
All I can think is, yeah, it was like, guys, oh, look, seriously, get rid of the crane games and just move your creamer station right here,
okay,
to where the crane game was, and like way better.
Way better.
Yeah. Way better. That would improve so much, because the customer service was really good. The donuts were really good. The avocado toast was on point. But like that was sort of thing. I was like, some of it seems really good, but then like there's this little corner of it that's like, well, you've maybe missed the mark a little bit on the vibe check.
Okay.
Or whatever. Okay. And then like, But it didn't matter. Like, people were in there like crazy.
Sure. So,
and then like we went to this other breakfast place, which ended. Oh, this was the worst one. This is by far the worst one. Like every time we walked past it throughout the day, it would be fully crowded, lots of people there eating, enjoying themselves. But like, it had such an identity crisis. I think it was called like Lola or something.
Okay.
It's at like there's this big fancy sign out front that says Lola by Chef whatever, blah 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 blah. And you're like, okay, yeah, you're putting the chef's name by that. It's like, yeah, you're putting your name on it. It's probably pretty good.
Yes,
especially when you're in this area.
Like, right. Yeah. Right. Yes. I know that when we've been on tour, we found a couple of like bakeries and stuff like that where it's like blah 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 by so and so.
Yeah.
And you're always like, no way. Okay. Yeah. Like, I don't know who that is, but they must be well known if it's like included in the title.
Included in the title.
You pull up to like the strip mall and it's like right down from like a Verizon store or something. And you're sort of like, interesting.
Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah. 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 No problem. No problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, but like, so there's that. There's like that big sign, which makes it look nice and fancy. And you see people in there and you're like, okay, okay. But then also right next to the sign, there's two of those giant, like, you know, like flags. Like that, like you might see it like a, you know, like a festival, like next to your tent that says like pizza on it.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
That's what it says. There's two giant like flags that just say pizza on it next to it. And you're like, those don't really seem like they fit the vibe of that sign. Like some of these, like these look like they would go outside of like a street truck, you know,
right?
Like a food truck. And the rest of your storefront looks like very fancy and polished. So I don't know. Maybe your pizza is just really good. Maybe you just want people to know, whatever. And they got like people playing cornhole out front. And it's like, well, that's like very cool and like casual and fun. And maybe it goes with the pizza, but again, it doesn't seem that fancy. And then if you look at the prices, they're very fancy prices. They're very fancy prices, I'll tell you that.
It's easy to nail fancy when it comes to prices.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like just add more.
Exactly. But then you go inside and it's like they're trying to do like this like dim lighting, like it's like a fancy experience, but then also all the decor is like, we're next to a beach. We bought all the stuff at Traders or Waves or whatever, you know? There's a giant marlin on the wall. You're like, yeah. It's like fancy lighting, but not such fancy decor, you know?
Right. Like, yeah, yeah.
What are we doing here?
I mean, it's very funny because it reminds me vaguely of like if like you were to punch a bunch of information into like AI, essentially.
Yeah, and it's sort of like it was a restaurant designed by AI.
Yeah, it's like what do people like? All of these things.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, someone was like, people like cornhole and pizza and they want like a beachside restaurant, but they want it to be fancy.
Right.
So we'll do it all. Yeah.
And in that way they nailed it.
And yeah, it was definitely like those, you know, when you get like a carabiner that's also a compass and a flashlight and you know, clock radio.
Some things are not better when they're all in ones.
Right. Yes. It was trying to be too many things in it, and therefore it was like nothing except like, and then we went there for breakfast one morning and Like we ordered coffees and they were extremely good coffees. And then they're like, you want a refill? We're like, yeah, sure. But what they didn't tell us was that they're like, I guess they're pour over coffee. So they're like, it's not like when someone walks by with a coffee pot and they're like, let me top you off there.
Yes. Yeah.
But so, you know, we get the check and it's like $20 for coffee. We're like, was it not like free refills? And it was like, no, not even our sodas are free refills. And I was like, your soda's not free refill? What do you like? Shouldn't you? She's like, yeah, I usually tell people. And I was like, oh, well, thanks. Thanks for telling us.
You guys just looked like you belonged here, so we didn't think it would matter.
I usually tell people. I guess I just slipped my mind. I was like, cool. And that, yeah, I mean, I got avocado toast there too. I was like, well, if Joe's donut shop was crushing the avocado toast, it was going to be so good. Right. This was like toast, like on bread you'd get from like it came out of a bag, you know?
Oh.
Yeah. And then like the avocados were not smashed. It was slices of avocado on one piece of bread. And I was like, I was so mad. This breakfast ended up costing me $75, and I was like, this is the worst money I've ever spent.
No way. Ever.
I was so mad. I was like, that was a terrible experience.
Wow.
So Lola on 30A.
I'm starting to have a curiosity here because like I wonder if like what happens is that like people go to these places like organically. Like maybe they've like their family has always gone there growing up or whatever, yeah. And it's like this is just like amazing. So it's like they go off on, you know, like TikTok or Reels or social media or whatever, and they're like, dude, guys, you guys gotta come down to 30A. Not the 30A, you gotta come down to 30A. Go to Lola's when you get here. You gotta get the avocado toast, it's gonna be great. And then it's like sort of like that beacon goes out into the world, and then like every single person is sort of like, okay, like where do you go? And like you're Googling, and like the top thing that comes up is like Lola's, and it's like, oh no way, let's all go there. And then it becomes just like overrun almost, the point where it's like everything that the original person was experiencing is like far in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know,
it is no longer Wags.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
You know, can you imagine if like Wags became like hyper commercialized?
I can't imagine,
because we talk about it so much.
It would just turn into Buc-ee's, you know?
Yeah. It's just like cornfields and cows in every direction and a Buc-ee's.
Yeah. But with that said, I love Buc-ee's.
It is.
Like, it feels like the sort of thing you're not supposed to like, but I do.
Sure. It is absolutely comically gigantic.
It is comically gigantic. And they're so leaned in on their own branding. And I love their strategy of like, hey, are you 300 miles from a Buc-ee's? We're going to tell you about it every billboard we can. If it's available, we bought it.
Wait, you are now 293 miles away from the next Buc-ee's.
Right, exactly. And it's like, that's so fun. It makes it really, it like, I hate that it works on me, but it's like by the time you get there, you're like, we're here, man. It's time to go.
I've been filling up the truck. Waiting.
Who
for
wants
it?
Beef jerky? I got so much beef jerky at the last Buc-ee's. It was great.
My dog ate mine.
Oh no.
Yeah. That's a true fact. Indy.
Yeah. Oh, that's a bummer. Yeah,
I know.
Dude, this was the tragedy of the Buc-ee's, is that when we were driving to New York, maybe you must have the same problem.
I had the exact same problem.
There is a Buc-ee's opening up in Harrisonburg, Virginia, I think last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like probably for 4th of July is probably what they were doing.
Like we saw it like on the side of the road. And we're like, no way, we got to stop. And then like, yeah, as like we went to like merge off, it was like opening soon. And we're like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, no. So yeah, we missed it by a week, which was so frustrating. But the good news is anytime we have to drive north from here on out, we'll always be able to stop at a Buc-ee's.
That's right. That's right.
And get some new beef jerky. Anyway, let's see. That was Lola. But then there were other places. Like we went to dinner one night at a place called Galleons, and not like Harry Potter Galleons, although you know, as ever, you're gonna spend like it.
Dinner plate size gold coins.
Yeah, that place, that was my favorite place there by far. I mean, the food was, every single thing was so good.
Okay,
that we got there. So go to Galleons, absolutely. Get the butter candle. That was their signature item.
The butter candle.
That, yeah, it was amazing. Like, I know, they basically had like an edible wick on a thing. They bring out this big like bread bowl of thing, and in the center of it is this like hunk of like heavily herbed and cheesed butter, and they light it and it's like a candle, and you just take the bread and dip right in it. That was so good.
Get
the butter candle.
That's worth the trip. Yeah, to 30A, right?
That's
there,
it, right? 30A, yeah. Go on that. Galleons,
right.
Yeah, I'll recommend that one. And then like some of it was, there were pizza shops that were like, yes, this is very good pizza. There were like ice cream shops where you're like, man, I loved that. We sadly couldn't get in the water while we were there. Well, sorry, like we weren't like beachfront by any means. Though we were looking them up on Zillow, as you do.
Yeah.
And like all the beachfront houses are like $11 million houses. We're like, oh my God. But so we're having to walk from our Airbnb like down to like the public access point and, you know, go through there like casual plebeians, I guess.
That's it. Yeah.
We're going through there and we finally make it to the beach on a day where it's like maybe the rain has stopped, because that's the thing, it's been raining on us like the whole time, the whole trip. I think it was at least spitting rain, maybe not like full-on rain, but I don't think the precipitation actually stopped.
Okay.
But it was slow enough that it was like we're gonna be in the water anyway, right?
Yeah.
We get down to the beach and there's like, you know, these flags that the lifeguards will put up that like indicate like, you know, whether it's high current or whether it's bad wind or something like that. And what you want to see is just a green flag. That means nice, calm water. And if you look at the pictures of 30A online, it's like those amazing pictures where it's like blue, crystal clear water, white sand beaches. And you're like, yeah, cool. We're going to go to one of those places. And we get there and they got the red flag up and the purple flag up. And the red flag means high current, like dangerous water, like, you know,
sure.
Like, you know, heavy currents. And then the purple flag means dangerous marine life, like jellyfish and stingrays and stuff like that. And I was just like, cool. And then on top of that, it seemed like there was also like an algae bloom, because we did go into the water like maybe up to our waist and it was just like surrounded on all sides by floating algae. And it was like, well, you want to go for a walk or?
So,
yeah.
Jay, tell me if I'm getting the proper measure of this trip.
Yeah.
Your flight was canceled.
Yeah.
The weather was bad.
Yeah.
You couldn't get in the water.
Yeah.
The breakfast was only okay.
One of the breakfasts was only okay.
Like, was this a good trip?
It was a good trip. It really was. Like the one day, the first day we went, there was like a pool right outside. So we went there and we were chilling there. And, you know, it was, this guy gets out any better. We were there for like 20 minutes and it thundered. And we're like, all right, we got to clear out. Like this lifeguard came through and like, we got to kick everyone out because of the thunder. We're like, okay. So we found from there, we were like, we'll just wait it out. And there was like a tasting room, like a tap room, like right around the corner. So we went in there and just like waited out the rain in there. And that was a really cool place. That was like a very fun, like, you know, they got all the dollar bills on the wall and they've got like, you know, 40 beers on tap or whatever.
That's my kind of place.
Yes. Yeah, that place was really good. You could get like a little thing of pimento cheese for, I think, you know, $1 million. You know,
it's just a low price of like $78.
It's like, no, it was like more than you want for what looked like store bought pimento cheese, but whatever. And then it was like they handed me like a package of Ritz crackers. It's like, this isn't fancy enough. Okay, I love Ritz crackers, but come on.
You are currently like an anti-travel influencer. Like, stay home.
I'm just like, don't, I just like, I hated like the tax of everything here is expensive because that's the attitude of the people here.
Well, right.
Even when the stuff isn't better, it's like, it doesn't matter because most of the people here are hyper wealthy. So if I want to charge $20 for a carton of pimento cheese, so what?
Right.
You know? And it's like, because so what is like, that's stupid. But regardless, the guy working the bar was actually super nice, and we both did flights of beer. And my mission, anytime I go to like a tap room place like this, is to try and find a beer that emulates my favorite beer that they no longer make from the Parkway Brewing Company,
which is like local to here, yes, to where we live. Yeah,
yeah. It was once upon a time when they first opened it, they made it. It was called the Bridge Builder Blonde, and me and Ben and our friends, we would go there, and like, this is like, it is now like such a hopping place, and they have like live music all the time, and it's become like a really like happening spot. But we were there early, before it was a happening spot, before they had a stage. It was just like plastic tables, plastic chairs next to the giant brewing cylinder things, you know, right. The tanks.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If you backed your chair up, you ran it into like a pallet fence that was holding back all the like bags of hops and barley or something.
Yeah. Like the hops were just in bags on the floor next. I mean, it was good. It smelled like hops, you know.
The best.
And we would get pictures of the blonde, and we would just pass it around. And it was, you know, good old fashioned early 20s time, you know.
Yeah.
As you do. And for whatever reason, I guess it just wasn't popular enough. They discontinued it, which is such a freaking shame, because to this day it is my favorite beer. And it had like this like very cool like it's not gonna sound good but banana clove kind of flavor to it.
Sure,
you know. Yeah. And once at Twisted Track, which is another brewery here, they had a spring like selection of beers that were just like, we're just gonna have them in the spring, and one of them was perfect. It was the exact thing, exactly what I wanted.
Yeah,
and it was there, and then it was gone. I think I only got it twice, and I was so mad. And so everywhere we go, if they have like blondes or wheats on the menu, I'll try and narrow in. I'm like, maybe today's the day. But there were Beth and I both did a flight, which came with four different kinds of beer, and you could just choose all of them. So we had eight different bites of the apple.
Nice.
And man, we found it. I was so excited. It was the Blue Water Heffenweiser from Third Planet, a Florida brewing company.
Nice.
And yeah, I was like, sipped it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is it. We found it. And then we later, we actually went to like a different, like a spirit and wine store or whatever that also had beer there. And we were like, I wonder if we can find it here. And we did. So we were to bring some home. So that was exciting too. But if you're in Florida and you know about Third Water, Blue Water Heffenweizen, so good.
Third Planet. Yeah. There you go.
Good brewery name.
This works out well too, because we go to Florida fairly often. So
yes.
Like, you know, it's like now whenever we go down there, but we can find like a specialty beer shop, and I bet they have it.
I bet you're right. I bet, because it didn't seem like it was like super hard to find.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the, what's our other brewery we like down there? The Sanford Brewing Co.
Yeah. Because it's SBC, not SCB.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how I always remember it.
Yeah. We went there at the end of another very long travel day once upon a time. I swear it's saved us.
Yes. I think my brain was literally about to split in half.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I. Anyway, so lots of love for that place.
Yeah. But so yeah, eventually we waited out the pool, got back out there. And let's see, the next morning we were like, all right, the next morning we're just going to wake up. And if it's, you know, hopefully it'll be sunny. Hopefully it'll be sunny. Sunday morning, I guess. And it wasn't, of course.
Jay.
I know. It's just like threatening to rain. It's like one of those where you're like, maybe we'll check out the beach again, or maybe it's going to be raining. And it was just raining, just full on. So it was like, okay, well, no big deal, because the good news is when you're in town like this, there's probably other things to do. So she was like, I wonder, is there like Topgolf or something? And I was like, ooh, that could be fun.
That could be so fun.
That could be fun.
Love some Topgolf.
There was Topgolf around, but there was also IMAX around.
Okay.
Which, I love IMAX movies. I think if you can go to IMAX movies, do it. They're so cool. Like, I don't even think the one we went to, I mean, it was bigger than a regular movie, but like not even as big as the IMAX is like I'm thinking of. Like... Yeah. Or maybe I'm just bigger now. I feel like we went to some as kids where it was like they were all, like old IMAX movies were like always like nature documentaries or whatever, and I feel like you had to like turn your head
right to take it all in.
I'm
laughing because I feel like you were like, it's like, so we woke up the next morning, it's raining, and it's like, but not to worry, we found an IMAX theater, not a big one like you would normally expect, but this one was fine.
It was fine. We decide we're gonna go see the F1 movie on IMAX. I was literally like, because the F1 movie is being billed, like even in the trailers, is all like in IMAX. And I'm like, I bet this is a really good IMAX experience. We don't have one near us at all. So like, I was like, maybe we should even like make a trip out of it, because you're so into F1.
Yes, absolutely.
And just like, I love seeing IMAX movies. So we were going to go do that, and we get there, and I'm going to just keep saying all the things that go wrong. So we look up the show times and it says 10:30, and we're like, fantastic. And we get there at 10:30, and they're like, oh, the IMAX is actually at 11:30. We have one for right now. And we're like, son of a. So now we're going to go burn an hour of time. Fortunately, the IMAX is in this like very cool like outdoor mall area. So we could just sort of wander down there for a little bit. We went to a Croc store. That was cool.
Awesome.
Got some of the little giblets for the kids. Got fun picking them out. They had tons.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
That is really fun. That's a great souvenir too.
Yeah. Super fun. And then we found like a Birkenstock store.
I was going to say. Yes. I've been noticed. I'm wearing
some Birkenstocks.
Your spuds.
Wearing some spuds. And this was, okay, this was a, like, it was a interesting experience buying Birkenstocks, because I've only ever owned one other pair.
I remember it. Yeah. Seventh grade.
In seventh grade. Exactly. Exactly. I haven't owned Birkenstocks since then. They haven't stopped. I don't think that. I mean, I think they only sell like 10 products and they're the same ones as back then. Or at least I know for a fact the ones I had in seventh grade are still for sale. Like they're the suede in this exact color that I'm wearing right now. And they have the two like wide straps over the front.
Right.
Those are the ones. And I remember because in seventh grade it being a big deal because it was like that's when like, you know, you've been in middle school for, you know, a year. Now you're in the second year and like things like clothes and stuff were starting to become like, oh, you got to like dress a certain way or whatever.
Sure.
There's like a code to all this stuff. And it was like the Birkenstocks were the thing. Everyone had them. And I was like,
I hate to be that guy. It's just Birkenstocks, not the Birkenstocks.
Oh, okay.
I'm joking. Because
everyone had Birks. And I remember like, I think I saved up my own personal money to like go buy a pair of these.
Okay.
Cause it was like, you gotta fit in or whatever. And, I remember dad taking me to the store. I think Tyler came with us cause he was telling me he remembered, or maybe you did. I don't know.
I don't think I was there. I feel like I remember coming home and you explaining them to me because you were like, look, they have like cork soles.
They have cork soles. They still do. They still do.
How about that?
Yeah.
Some things never change.
I know. I remember being so excited about it in seventh grade and like, oh my God, like I did it. I got these things. And then apparently I remember feeling this way. It was that like, I did the thing. I got the Birks, but like that I got, you know, like the pocket popularity in my particular section of, you know, Franklin County Middle School was such that the clogs were the really cool thing. And the kind I had were like, yeah, those are like, I guess they qualify, but those are like, those aren't the cool ones. Those are like, those are also Birkenstocks. So they count, but like the clogs.
The clogs. So you got like the right brand, the wrong model.
I got like the wrong model. Okay, yeah. Apparently. Okay, which is to say like, no one would ever said that. They're still the right. It's the right brand. Got the right brand. But apparently everyone else had the clogs. And I remember hating the clogs forever because of this feeling like I was just like, man, I did the thing, but I missed. And I remember thinking like, it was one of those things where like, I just know you're all stupid. I don't even like yours. Your shoes are dumb. I did the right thing. You're all wrong. You know,
sure,
it's very
sure.
Seventh grade kind of attitude towards it. Yeah. Like, no,
I didn't mess up. You messed up.
I saved up for this. And now I'm like, I'm feeling left out somehow. Still, you know, whatever.
Wow.
But anyway, as you can see, I'm now the coolest kid in seventh grade.
Yes.
With my clogs. I was looking at them again and I was like, I was showing, but I was like, these are the ones I had. These are the ones right here. And I put them on again and she was like, I don't think those are it. And I was like, yeah, they're not it. And then I tried these on. And I was like, these are a lot cooler. She's like, yeah, those are a lot better. So, and they are very comfortable and I'm excited to own Birkenstocks again. We've gone full circle. They were very in vogue. They never went away. And now they're just back.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because you also brought up Crocs in the same conversation.
Yeah.
I feel like both of these brands, to me, kind of like went through like a heyday and then like a nay day.
Yeah.
And then like a hey.
Hey, we're day. Back. Day. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It's back. That's so funny. I see. I actually had a pair of those, but they were not Birkenstock brands when I was a senior in high school. And the thing that I remember about them is because I had bought like the off-brand ones, the little strap on the side immediately came undone.
This?
And yeah,
I see.
Well, I don't even think that mine buttoned on. Like, however, those seemed to button
I don't even
on.
Know if this is a button. Does this even come undone?
Or is it just more like a rivet?
I think it's more like it's just permanently there. This side you can adjust.
Okay. Well, either which way, mine came undone. So I went to my woodshop class and I just took a nail and just hammered it into the cork. Yeah. So I literally was using a nail the whole time.
That is amazing. I never knew that story. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Good times.
That is so funny. Oh my gosh. Did people know that you'd done that or was it just like, nope, no one even realizes?
Yeah. I don't think people really knew that I did it. I think that like it was like a raw nail sticking out the back though. So not the back, like it didn't have like a nice big like flat head for the nail. It was sort of like a pinhead nail.
Mm.
So it sort of stuck out. So like if I like walked too close, like next to somebody, it could like just like slice their leg open or something.
See.
So, yeah.
Classic.
I think that may have happened or else maybe I scratched my own feet. Like when I like crossed my like legs underneath my desk, it was like the nail would just like stick into my ankle. And it's like, well, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
At least I look cool, I guess.
Did people, did you feel like, no, you got the right model, but you got the wrong brand?
Yeah. No, I didn't have much of that. Like I think it was largely okay. I sort of had like an outfit that they were like catered to that I would like wear with it. But at that point in my life, I would not have considered myself in any way, shape or form like somebody who people look to for their fashion sense. So
right.
I think I was just trying to be cool, and it was just my closest attempt to get there.
Solid. Yeah. Solid. Yeah. 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 Well, anyway, now I have the clog. Birkenstocks.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, and Beth got a pair as well. So naturally. That was fun. Not of these, but of a different model.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
You guys are so fancy.
I know. It was fun. It was fun though, because it was just like, I think we both had that like same experience, even though, you know, we were in different like school districts, you know, like, you know, Roanoke and Franklin County, not that far apart.
Sure.
But you know, she remembered the Birkenstock craze of like seventh grade. And like wanting a pair and all that and stuff like that. So it was kind of fun to just like go buy them together on our little trip.
Amazing.
I know.
And then you got to go finally see the F1 movie.
Yeah, we did. But while we were checking out for the Birkenstocks, Beth was like trying to check in for the flight. And she realized that because we had initially booked a round trip flight. Well, we didn't show up for the connection because when they had rebooked us was for the next day.
Sure.
And they were like, oh, you didn't show up for the first phase, so we're just going to cancel the entire round trip flight. And I was like, no, we still have the tickets for the way back, though. We still have the tickets for the way back. But apparently they were like, no, you didn't show up at the connection, so we just canceled the whole thing. So then,
wow.
I know. So then that was frustrating. But Beth... she was like, I'm not going to be able to like watch this movie and enjoy it at all if this is like hanging in the air in front of me. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. So she just like very thankfully just solved that problem and talked to all the people on the phone and came in like 20 minutes into the movie and she's like, we're booked. And I was like, great. So then she got to experience the rest of the movie of F1 Sunny, the Legend of Sunny Hayes or whatever.
Wait, okay, so and you loved the movie?
Oh yeah, the movie was great. It was very fun. Very fun.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Good times.
Do you by chance remember there was a book when we were growing up that was Mom's least favorite book to read us at night?
It was like an Arthur's Scary book, like Mr. Frumble's Worst Day Ever.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's what I'm having?
Yeah. Like you seem like I'm so happy, and maybe it speaks to like the stress of having like three boys all the time, because mm-hmm. it sounds like everything went wrong and you're telling these stories with a smile on your face. Like,
I mean, I had a really fun trip. I don't have like any, like the weird thing is like as I'm telling it, I'm like, man, another thing went wrong. But it was like the whole time, like it was still really fun.
That's good. That's really good. That's all that super matters. I'm only just worried because Alice and I have a solo trip that we're doing later this exact same mm-hmm. month. And now I'm already like, I need to mentally brace myself for what could come.
Ben, here's the thing. Just know that you, at any point, you can go buy Birkenstocks.
Okay. Yeah,
you can do that.
Yeah. It's like that's always on the table.
It's always on the table, probably.
Probably. When in doubt, cork it out.
Stock it out. Yeah, burk it out or whatever. And I feel like I've been like paranoid with these particular shoes too, because they're like, I don't know, they're like one of the suede ones, and they're like, oh yeah, once those get wet, they're really never the same. And I was just like, well, good thing it's raining every day, so I didn't even get to wear them until I got home. You know, I wasn't even about to like wear them out of the store. I was like, no chance, nuh-uh. And then like even when we were leaving, I was like, I'm not even wearing these to the car. I'm not even gonna wear them on the plane. I'm not, just nope. And we got home, and I had like Beth had like the spray you put on them or whatever to like
extra
proof them. And I did that, and I let them set. It was like, I thought about wearing them that night to go play some Pokemon. And I was like, no. It said 24 hours. I'm just gonna.
They're gonna see it through.
I'm gonna see it through. We're not gonna play with fire here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, well done. Well done.
Thank you.
Sounds like a wonderful trip. So in large part, though, I think the metaphor does play rather nicely, because it's like you guys were there celebrating 10 years, and you dealt with just a myriad of unpredictable circumstances. And I think it's like so often in life, this is like you can become fixated on the problems. Like you can let those things stand as your blockade, or you can just like choose to charge past them and just sort of like it's like having fun can be like a state of mind.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I think like as long as you're in the state of mind to have fun and you're receptive to that scenario, then it makes everything else beat off, you know, no
exactly.
problem. Yeah.
It was just like the point of it was that we were, you know, together on the trip, and that made everything fun. So like, even though, yeah, things, you know, we had to keep, you know, pivoting and adjusting our circumstances or whatever. Like, it was just fun. It was just fun doing anything, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, job well done. Well, there we go. That is in a nutshell, Jay's 10-year anniversary.
There you go. Jay on 30A.
That's right. That's right. But y'all, as always, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. If you have any feedback for us, you can send it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you support the show, you can use it at patreon.com/popcornculture. Links to all those things in all the obvious places. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Tired of all the bugs in your yard? Enjoy your backyard again with Cutter Backyard Ready to Spray Bug Control at Menards. It kills mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and other insects fast, controlling them for up to 12 weeks. A 32-ounce Ready to Spray container covers up to 5,000 square feet and is on sale now through July 13th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.